Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Next, our sermon this morning is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, reading from chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Our country has never had a king. So the idea of a king ruling or reigning over us might be a bit foreign. In fact, our country came into existence, you could say, because of a king, because of King George in England. The colonists in the States rebelled, I guess we could say, started the American Revolution. And so our country at its beginning was very much opposed to the idea of having a king who would serve for life. After the Revolutionary War was ended, we did not immediately get a president. It took a few years, but finally people realized we need somebody. And so they enlisted George Washington, who was a very popular choice, easily was elected our president, and he said he's going to serve two terms, and that was it. Washington did not want to give the impression that the presidency was like a king. He was very much wanted to be a part of the people, and he said two terms, and that's it. That rule was pretty much held to until the days of World War II, when Franklin Roosevelt was elected to a fourth term, died in office in 1945. But after that time, the United States decided, we don't like that. We don't like this idea of having a president for life, so the 22nd Amendment was passed, which says two terms. Still haven't done anything with Congress. But the presidency is not for life. It's two terms. However, people vote for presidents based on their own life. This last election really demonstrated that people were making decisions about which president to vote for, which candidate to vote for, because they believed that candidate would impact their life. See, this past year, our lives have been turned upside down by this pandemic. Even if you never got the virus or don't know anybody that's died, millions of people in our country have, and hundreds of thousands of people have died. Aside from the health things, the financial impact, or the impacts on our families, where are you going to spend Thanksgiving? You've probably heard some direction about what you do or not do. And so people vote for a presidential candidate that they believe will help them in their life. It's what we expect. It's what we want our leaders to do, and we can disagree. We can have different opinions on which candidate would be better for our life, what government is more beneficial for our earthly life. We can come to all kinds of different places on that question of what's best for our life. What we can agree on, however, is no candidate can truly impact our life because they can't take care of our biggest problem, which is death. And if there was a presidential candidate who could offer up a cure, they would be our king for life. And so on Christ the King Sunday, that's exactly what we find. That's exactly who we have in Jesus our King. He's a king who came into our lives, into our world. He's a king who took on our greatest enemies and completely defeated them. And he's a king who gives life to people. That's why today, Jesus is our King for life, for our earthly life and for our eternal life. The Apostle Paul wrote this chapter to the Corinthians to lay before those people and before us the glorious truths of Jesus' resurrection. It's the chapter in the Bible that gets our attention on Easter Sunday and the Sundays after Easter, because Paul emphasizes in so many different ways the truth of the resurrection and what it means for us. In the verse right before verse 20, Paul asks the question, what if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead? What does that mean? Paul's answer was, well, we're to be pitied more than all people, because if Jesus isn't alive, we have nothing. We're still in our sins. We have no life. We only have eternal death. And then he gets into our text, and Paul starts there by saying, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. The evidence is overwhelming. There's no grave to go visit for Jesus. All the gospel accounts in the Bible record Jesus' resurrection. Hundreds of eyewitnesses that Jesus was alive. He showed himself, gave me many convincing proofs that he was alive. It's a real thing. Jesus is a king who conquered death. He did what nobody else could do. He turned around the sin and its consequences that Adam brought into this world. Connection is there. What Adam and Eve did impacted all people. They brought death. Jesus did, brought life for all. He's a king like no other. He can deliver on real life promises because he brings us things that really matter for our life. Forgiveness, peace, joy, hope. Certainly we want this king for our life. He gives us so much. And he's so different. He's so different than what people think of when it comes to a king. Well, he has a royal line, right? He's from King David's royal line. Just as God had promised, Mary and Joseph were both descendants of David, and Jesus was born in the city of David in Bethlehem, just as the scriptures promised. And so in a sense, he's born into his kingdom. He's very different. He was a king of the people. He came to be with people. He came to associate with people. He came to live with the people and for the people. Jesus came to suffer for the people. You are a king then, Pilate said. Hail, King of the Jews, those Roman soldiers said as they beat him up and put that crown of thorns on his head. Jesus is a king for our life, as he came to give his life as a perfect sacrifice for your sin, as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Jesus offered that life up to God. He said it was finished. Suffering was done that day at the cross, and God pronounced it and proclaimed it to the world when the tomb was empty on Easter Sunday morning. Just as through Adam all die, through Christ all will be made alive. Jesus is our King for life. Right now, no matter what's going on with the pandemic, no matter what's going on in our world, we have that life, and nobody can take it away from us. No candidate can make it better for us. We have eternal life in Jesus our Savior. The rest of these verses, Paul takes us ahead. He takes us ahead to that time when we will be in that kingdom of heaven with all God's people in glory everlasting. Until that day, we're standing in both kingdoms. We have Jesus' kingdom in this world that he's ruling. We also have our place in that eternal kingdom in heaven. And we live in both of them. In this world, death is still here. Even though Jesus is alive, even though Easter is a fact, because we're sinners, we're going to still face death unless Christ comes back first. When he comes back, then that final enemy will be put under his feet and out of the way forever. Death will forever be swallowed up in victory. Until that day, we're still going to go to cemeteries. We're still going to attend funeral services. Probably planning for our own. But we know we have that eternal kingdom of heaven, that eternal kingdom of life. It's what we look forward to. We long for that day when Jesus will come back. And the kingdom of this world, it will come to an end. And that kingdom of glory will be forever and ever. Right now, Jesus is your king for life. And he's put you in this life to serve him at your unique place in life. As a husband or wife, employer, employee, a child, teacher, wherever you're at, you're here to serve the Lord with your life. And you have a king who's ruling over your life. He also brings you blessing by establishing government and rule in this life. And the Christian looks at those blessings from God and says, thank you. Thank you for giving us order and stability in our world. Help us to use that to your glory. And help us not to be confused. Help us not to be confused by the things of this life and things of eternal life. One of the ways that God helps us is to bring adversity into our life, to allow things like a pandemic or other unrest to come. He does that to remind us that we have something much better to look forward to. We have that life in heaven with our King for life. That's very clear from Scripture. It's very easy to see the difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of life in heaven. What gets hard is to always understand it for ourselves. This past week, the news came out that there have been some very successful tests for the vaccine for the coronavirus. 90 or 95% effectiveness for these two pharmaceutical companies that have these vaccines ready to go within weeks, and it sparks hope. In addition, the therapeutics and the treatments that are being developed that have been successful, it sparks hope that maybe we're getting to the back end of this thing, and we can start to get back to normal. We want that. We're praying for the success of those vaccines, that people would get better, so we can get back to normal. Have you said that to anybody in the last, 6 months? I can't wait till things get back to normal. Or have you heard people say, I'm really looking forward to things getting back to normal? Have you prayed that? Of course. Long for the day when I can walk out of my house and not worry if it's in my pocket, right? Or you walk into a restaurant and have to go back to your car to get it, right? It'll be a glorious day when I don't have to worry about who's sitting next to me in church, who touched the offering plate before I did, or what's the distance between us if we're not related. That'll be nice. But there's some other things that aren't so nice. Things that we certainly don't want to go back to. It's not normal. When we experience a pandemic like this, we see it as God's call. God's call to repentance. God's call to turn away from the things of this life and look ahead to eternal life. There's some things in our past that's not normal spiritually. It's normal when it comes to life in this world, but not when it comes to our life as a child of God. It's not normal for us to give absolutely no thought to whether or not church is going to be available to us. Right? That was our normal before. We didn't have to wonder, well, are we going to be in person or online this week? I'm going to have to try to find a Bible study link, or can I actually go face to face? What a blessing that was. But how easy it is for us to just take it for granted. Why would we want to go back to that? Why would I want to go back to that point in my life where I didn't really think too much about God's word? In the past few months, God has really forced us to consider how we're being fed in our faith. Why do we want to go back to those times when Sunday morning, if I have time, I'll get to church, but there's always next week? One of the blessings of the last few months is God has really opened our eyes to see what a great gift it is to be together around the Word of God, to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's in a group like this or it's a private setting. What a treasure that is. God has opened our eyes to see that. Why would we want to go back to a time when that wasn't so obvious to us? The devil likes us to look back. Oh, the good old days. Back to normal. As Christians who have a King for life, we see hardships and difficulties. We see everything in this life as our loving Savior directing us ahead to our eternal kingdom. You know the scriptures. You know those encouragements from God's word to set your minds on things above. Forget what is behind, strain toward what is ahead. Because you have a King for life. Not a king who just brings you some earthly blessings. Those are great, and we're thankful for all that God showers upon us. But we have a King who gives us eternal life. How glorious that will be. As people living in this world, as Christians living in this world, we are thankful when God works things out that makes it so his church can flourish, so the word of God can go out. But we also recognize that God is the one who does that in ways we don't expect. Think in regards to earthly rulers and leaders, for example. In the early Christian church, right after Jesus ascended back to heaven, one of the things that the church had to deal with right away was persecution. And it started from some of the religious leaders, but very quickly it moved into a government persecuting the Christian church. But what happened during that time was the Christian church spread out and it flourished, and people stood boldly for the truth of God's word, even when they were facing death. And Jesus' church grew. It was a church of life. Then in 313 AD, things changed dramatically because suddenly there was a Christian ruler. A ruler who became a Christian and said, now everybody's a Christian. Can you imagine if you had lived before that time when you were under persecution for your faith and suddenly there's a Christian ruler? You would be thanking and praising God. What a blessing. These people could live in freedom. They could serve the Lord with joy. They didn't have to hide anymore. But that became a bane to them as well. Because then the government got mixed up in the church and things went downhill again. But what didn't change is their king. That's still true for us. As we go through life and see the changes that come in our world, health changes, political changes, whatever it might be, the constant is always Jesus. Because he's our King for life. He's given us forgiveness and eternal life, and he's promised to deliver us safely home to heaven. What other kind of ruler would you want? What other kind of leader would you long for? There isn't one. You don't need one. We have a King, and he's our King for life. Amen.